Okay, this morning, I would like to have a discussion with everybody. As I try to say stuff that I like to talk about when I'm before you all, it comes to me first before it goes to y'all, so I don't want you to think that, you know, I'm picking on anybody or trying to pull something out on anybody, because it affects me. And because it affects me, I thought that it would be good for you all to know too, being that you would see it in me or through me from the way in which I carry myself. But this article that I came across, it touched me. And I said, that would be a good thing to do a little discussion on. First of all, it's about being content. And as you all are aware, it's hard to be content. If we get sunshine day, 90 degrees, blue sky, birds chirping, it's wonderful. It's a beautiful day. Everybody's happy. 5 days of that, we need some rain. We need this. We need that. It's hot. Okay, we get some rain. Yeah, we need that rain. The crops need to grow. We get this. 5 days of that. I'm tired of this rain. You know, you get some snow. We know it needs to kill off the germs. And it looks pretty. Mm-hmm. Kids have a good time playing in it. And after a while, I'm cold. I don't want to go outside and play no more. It's too cold. And as working people know, it's nice to look at, but it's not so nice when you got to go out there and work at it every day. You get tired of that quick. So to be content, it takes a whole lot of different things, you know, just one particular thing, you know, wish it could be like this all the time, but that's not going to last. So we have to find contentment as best we can in what happens, what we do. And it's a good thing that we are not in control, because what is content for me may not be content for you. What's content for you may not be content for me. Yes.
We find that out at home with the thermostat warm.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. That'll do it. Quick. That will do it. I have four little short paragraphs, and feel free to make comments at any time. The title of this little poem, I guess you could call it, is My Cup Has Overflowed. And it starts with, and if you want to, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 6. This is what this is kind of based on. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 6. But the title of this is, My Cup Has Overflowed. And it starts with, I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now. But I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Now, you know, we all want money, you know. Can't get enough of it. Because we know that it takes money to make things operate properly or better. And I like to remind myself from time to time how I'm so thankful that God doesn't put a price on the things that He gives us. You know, I say sometimes we wake up, we're breathing air. What would God charge us for the air we breathe? You know, I mean, we want to get paid for everything we do. And pretty much everything that you have done, wherever you go, you don't have to pay for. Anybody know what the minimum wage is in Virginia right now?
Too much.
Too much. Minimum wage?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, for entry-level job.
It's too much.
Like $15?
I think that's what they want it to be.
Can you have your kid working at McDonald's or something?
No, that's what it used to be. Right now, the minimum wage in Virginia is $12.41. It used to be $12. They raised it up 41 cents at the beginning of January this year. Imagine if you had to pay that per hour for air. That would be too good, I don't think. That's the greed. Because some people do have to pay for their air because they need oxygen and stuff. And we always say, water is free. But go somewhere and ask somebody at a restaurant or whatever, can I get a cup of water? Yeah. Well, you have to pay for the cup. They'll give you the water, but you got to pay for the cup. Hey, what is it they call that? A catch 22 or something? But anyway, you get caught. But what I'm getting at is we place emphasis on how much better life would be if we had more money. But of course, that's going to come with more problems, more situations, more people dealing with you. And after a while, you'll say, I wish I didn't have that. Not like that. But to be content, as this person puts it, he's learned to be content. And to reap better than you sown. That one really hit me because I try to think of, what have I sown? I mean, you know, like we're all supposed to be doing good deeds and helping people. And we're supposed to also use your head so that you won't get taken advantage of. We're not supposed to judge. So you have to, I like the way you always put it, purpose in your heart to do good. So if I see someone and they're asking me for money, then I'm not going to judge them, but I'm going to say, well, what do you want it for? And I need to get something to eat. Well, come on, I'll get you something to eat. Well, I need some clothes. Well, come on, I'll buy you some clothes. Well, I need money to pay this bill. Okay, give me your bill, I'll pay your bill. To try to avoid being taken advantage of and giving them money. But if it comes down to it, the goodness of my heart, purpose in my heart, if it's in my means, I give it to you. Purpose in my heart, goodness of my heart, and let God settle it. You know? Now, if you come back to me tomorrow and ask me again, can I get some more money? No. I tried to help you yesterday. I can't help you today because I see this is going to be a continuous thing. Trying to use my head. But if the Lord provides for me to be able to help again today, okay, I'm supposed to help you 7 times 7, right? As a good Christian. Because the Lord has provided me to be able to provide for you. So he's just working through me. And once I leave it in his hands, it's okay. Because it's not like I'm giving you my last dollar. Because the Lord still is going to give it back to me. That's one way of looking at it. But now if the Lord doesn't give it to you, then you have to say, no, well, I had to put a little stop on that because I don't have it, which I won't be mine. I don't have it. But it's all in how you think and where the goodness of your heart is. But to realize that you have reaped better than you sown, if you help people, then the Lord will bless you. But if you haven't helped anyone and you know you could have, then you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do. So how have you reaped? Is things always going wrong for you? Is things always going good for you? How have you reaped? Is your family doing well? Are they having problems? This person says he has reaped better than he sown. And I think once we think back over our lives, we know that we have done some good sometime in our life, but we didn't do it to expect something back. When you do good for someone and not expect something back, that's what you are doing for God. That's what you're doing right. Next paragraph. Haven't got a lot of bitches, and sometimes the going's tough. But I've got loving ones all around me that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and the mercies he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Again, can we put a price tag on your loved ones, your friends, your associates, even the ones that you may work with, their entrepreneurs? Can we put a price tag on them? God, I would give you so much if you just keep him from bothering me. That's not a good thing. You know? But can we put a price tag on that? Because, okay, we've all worked somewhere, and there's always been somebody that has irked your nerves, and you don't want to see them coming. But you have to deal with it. Because why? Life has its highs and lows. And we have our obstacles. We have trials and tribulations. That's part of it. So we can't wipe that clean. We have to deal with it. Because believe it or not, you hurt somebody's nerves too. Believe it or not. You don't know it, but you do. And it could be a family member. It could be your neighbor. It could be, let's say, the doctor. We all have to go to the doctor sometime or another. And the doctor really didn't feel like dealing with you today because you always want to ask him a question. You know, or you always want to know why. I got a little grandson, and sometimes I have to remind him. He said, Papa, where you going? I said, you don't ask me that. Why? Because I said so. You know, you don't ask me that. I have to let him, have to remind him, let him know that I'm grown, you're not, you know. But sometimes because we do things, we hurt other people's nerves. But what does it mean to have good friends, family members, associates? How does it make you feel when someone that you know has passed away? Do you feel a loss? Even if it's not your, not somebody that you usually deal with every day. Say like a neighbor that always cutting his grass and blowing his grass in your yard. You know, when he comes down the side, he always blows the grass in your yard. You know, it kind of itches your nerves, but hey, you know, you don't say too much about it. But then you find out he's passed away. You say, well, I won't have that grass blown in my yard no more. Or do you feel sort of like, hey, I'm sorry to hear that, you know? And then you may go over to their house and maybe take a little food item or something, or you send them a card to the family. Do you show compassion? How does it make you feel when life is dealing you a rough hand, as it says? You know, you got to go with the hand you were dealt. But that's part of life, right? You know, we can't have a bed of roses all the time. So we kind of put on our tough skin and we make it through. And then we realize that, you know, I kind of got it bad, but this person over here got it just a little bit worse than me. So, you know, I can handle this. I can make it. And you know that God still got you. Because, hey, I'm going to have good days, I'm going to have bad days.
As we grow older and we reflect on where we were many years ago and imagine us having this, having that, home, house, car, and all that. And we weren't content until we got old and we have all these things, and then we find that we're still not content.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that we wish we had, or would like to have. And Paul admonishes us to be content in every situation we find ourselves in. But it's truly hard to be content with our spiritual life when we compare it to Jesus' life, an example that he set for us, you know, to follow.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to be content there. But yet I get the impression of reading Paul's writings that he did find contentment in his career, in his mission. But that's something that I know I'm not content right now with God.
Mm-hmm.
And with what I'm accomplishing or trying to accomplish. And, so it's a goal out there that I don't know. I would love to think that I'd be like Paul and be content in every situation.
Right. I think this one of the main things that you touched on, you have to have something to keep you grounded, as in what God wants. You know, as you said, being content with God, doing God's will. Because this other stuff is not going to last. You know, even though you get it, it's not going to last. It's sort of like a child. If you take a child downtown and they see a toy truck, and I want that truck. Every time he sees, I want that truck. And then you buy him a truck, and he's going to play with it for a few minutes, and then he's going to sit it down, because he's going to go to something else. But he don't want nobody else to come and mess with that truck. You know, like, this is mine, this is mine. Don't nobody bother that. It's just sitting over here all by itself. He don't want nobody to play with it. Because when he feels like he won't play with it again, he's going to go back to it. But as bad as he wanted to get it so he could play with it, he played with it for a little while, because of something else to distract him, took his mind off of it. And that's what happens with us in life every day. The devil has so much stuff that he uses to distract us. We take our focus off of Christ and where we're supposed to be going, and we get caught up, which God already knows that he makes a way for us. We just have to keep focused, try to keep focused. And in reading this, it kind of helps us say, oh, that's good, yeah. I'm focused now. Because something else comes along and takes my mind off of it. But it's going to come back, because once you hear this, a little of it's going to sink in, and it's going to come back to you later on. Just like later on or some other time you heard a song that you like, and you can't get it out of your head. You just keep singing and singing and singing. Then after a while, you sung it enough, it kind of loses its luster. You don't think about it anymore. And then you might find yourself in a quiet place or going through a rough period, or you're being content, and that song pops back up in your head. Or you may hear it somewhere else. I like that song. You need something to bring it back to you. We need something to keep us grounded. Hopefully this poem may do that trick to help you stay grounded when you think of it again. The third paragraph. I remember times when things went wrong. My faith was somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke, and the sun peeked through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads I've hold. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. How many times has something happened and you said, me. I'm the only one? Thank you. Trouble don't last always, and good times don't either.
But good times does come.
Yes, it does. It does.
The way it comes in the morning.
Yes, it does. But in order to get to that joy, you got to go through that rough time. Why me? The other thing, why not me? Because we still got that bullseye on our back that says, I'm a Christian. I live for Christ. That's why you. If not you, who? We're supposed to be the shining light on the hill or wherever. We're supposed to set the example. That's what wears our faith thin sometimes. And sometimes we look at other people and say, they seem to always have it good. You know, I don't never see them suffering. They don't never look like they have a rough time with things. I wonder, what are they doing that I'm not doing? Maybe the Lord is using you to be the example, to show that even though things are rough, He still got you. Maybe we don't need to see what happens to those people that seem to always have it. Because what do they go through? Where would they end up? As my mom used to say, if everybody jump off the cliff, you're going to jump too. You know, and little kids would say, but anybody else is doing it. Like, it's okay. But we have to realize, because of who we are, we're not supposed to. And yes, times may get tough. If we be strong, as you said, trouble don't last always. Joy comes in the morning, and the clouds break, and the sun comes through. Where will you be standing then? Where will those other people be standing? As he puts it, he's drinking from his saucer because his cup has overflowed. And lastly,
question.
Yes, ma'am.
One thing also seems to be his cup doesn't overflow until after he's done, time has passed. In all of these paragraphs so far, time has passed with his family, time has passed with his struggles, and that's called waiting. So more than anything in life, because we're waiting. It seems like we're waiting, like the kid that you talked about who wanted the truck and then got the truck played for a while. We always have to wait. So more than anything, we do more waiting in life than we do receiving, and that's about our mindset. So when we talk about contentment and what the writing of Paul is teaching and will continue to teach us, is that what is our mind doing? Because when our mind is doing something, that's the action that takes place. Because when we talk about what others see, people say, oh, they never struggle. No, they never see our reaction to a struggle. Because if we're up in arms, and we're negative about everything, or cussing, you know, whatever the world would like us to respond to,
right,
then that's what they would want us to see. But if they see that positive, then they're seeing Christ in us. And more than anything that we will do is we will be continually waiting, because we are waiting for the coming of the Lord, like we are now, one day closer. So that's what we're doing. We're waiting. And in our waiting, what is our reaction? And our reaction is what people will see. If they see us calm and patient, hopefully they're seeing the light of the Lord. They're seeing the love of the Lord. If they're seeing our harshness and our negativity, then, they just nasty. They pick up that side.
All right.
We're waiting. And that's when we can enjoy our overflow of our saucer.
Okay. I'm a little confused, as you said. Can I ask a question?
Make a statement. You know, Brother West, I get curly.
That's fine. I appreciate the statement, and that makes sense. Yeah, because I agree. Because we all are waiting, as you said. We're waiting to go to eternity. But in the meantime, what's going on? And the devil is trying to distract us, to take our mind off of this, because if we gets us to take our mind off of where we are going, then we're going to do like other people that we see, and we're going to lose it.
Right.
You know, we're going to act, as you said, you were trying to pick the term or the phrase, we're going to act ugly. You know, when things upset us, we're going to lose it. Things comes hard for us, again, we're going to lose it. You know, we're going to lose it anyway, you know. Just got a nasty disposition because this is not going our way, but we're still waiting. So that's what the devil tries to do. If he takes our mind off it, then that's what happens. The example of I believe it's Peter in the boat when he was stepping out of the boat to walk to Jesus. As long as he was looking at him, am I right? It was Peter. And as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. That's what the devil wants. We take our purpose of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be living to please the Lord. If we do that, not saying, and this is, I think, is the thing that confuses a lot of people, that if I be a good Christian and I give to the poor, go to church every Sunday, I help anybody, I take the shirt off my back, I do anything and everything, then God's going to give me everything I want. That's not going to happen. But I think some people are under that illusion, and they believe that. Well, because I've heard people say, I prayed and the Lord didn't give me what I asked for. I prayed and he didn't answer my prayer. Did you ask the Lord for what is his purpose, or did you ask the Lord for what was in your heart, what you wanted? Because God's not going to give any of us anything that's contrary to what he wants us to have. As I started out with, we want a lot of money in life. If God gives us a lot of money, he knows it's not going to do us righteous. It's going to take our mind off of him, because I got money now, I can go out here and I can do whatever I want to do. I can go this place, I can go that place, and sooner or later I'm going to forget about these people. I'm going to look down on these people. I'm going to have my way, might take something from them, might give something to these that don't deserve it. I'm going to act foolish because I'm human. That's me. God knows that. So he gives me just enough for me to make it. And I keep calling on him and trying to live the way he wants me to live so he will take care of all my needs. But see, really, when you think about it, if you got food to eat, clothes to wear, and shelter, what else do you need to survive? Yes, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. That's true. I was looking at material things. What else do you need to survive? Because all the other stuff is material things. These bills. Because we wanted this. We wanted gas for to keep the house warm. But we need that. But before gas came about, didn't they use wood to make fire, you know? And back in the day, they had oil that they got from the whales before they got oil coming out of the ground, you know? But they had another way of staying warm, you know? But we want comfort, so we got to pay. But how did people survive in biblical times? How did they stay warm? What was most important? Food to eat, clothes to wear, and shelter. They had that. And they depended on God. As you said, we need Jesus. Yes, we do. Because he provides everything. Everything we need. But then we want other stuff. We want fine clothes. We want to adorn ourselves with rings and watches and nice stuff, you know, chairs and lounge couches and televisions and computers and remotes. You know, you name it, everything. Alarm systems and you know, we can't just go to the well and get water. We just walk in, turn the spigot, and water just runs, you know. You gotta pay for that. Well, you can take up the bucket and go. And if you can't go, that's why you send your child. Why you think you had children? When I was young, I used to sit in front of the TV to turn the channel. That was my job. But I got to look at the TV. But seriously, what do we need to survive? All the rest is comfort. And the Lord provides everything we need. But yes, we get distracted. The devil knows that, and that's what he does. And he gets us distracted, we get off course. We get off course, we run into problems. And lastly, if God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. The most common thing today is, I got mine. They got to get theirs. I'm not going to help them. I'm too busy doing what I need to do to keep myself afloat. I don't have it to give. But when you think about it, we have so much. And we don't realize it until we see someone else that doesn't have half of what we have. I came to a realization once when I was working on this job, and I was making a decent wage. I thought it was decent because it was the most money I ever made. And then the job ended. So I had to get another job. The next job I went to, I was making half of what I was making on the first job. So I had to tighten my belt. And the essential things I still took care of, you know, the bills, food, you know, as I said, the food, the clothing, the shelter. You take care of that stuff. A lot of the things I wanted to do that I used to do, like anytime I felt like it, I'd go over here and order pizza or go over here and eat at the restaurant. I had to cut that stuff out. Didn't seem so important to me. But I took care of the family and everything else that I should take care of. Then that job played out. Got another job that gave me half of what I was making on the second job. Tagged my belt again. I still lived comfortably. I wasn't hungry. I had a roof over my head. I even had some of the luxuries. Computers or remotes and stuff. Couldn't go on trips like I wanted to or used to, but I learned that some of that unnecessary stuff wasn't, or that's all it was unnecessary. I mean, it was pleasant and it was good, but I could still live without it.
That was God teaching you contentment.
Definitely. And I became content because I was happy. Like I said, I never was hungry. Still had clothes to wear. Still was warm. The rain wasn't falling on my head. You know? But God has a way of humbling you to let you know. But if we seek to try to be content, you know, we don't have to be reprimanded so harshly. You know?
Oh, you mean not,
no,
go ahead. Maybe not just humbling you, but preparing you for maybe something ahead.
Yes.
I mean, who knows?
Yes, I agree with that. But it's still humbling you because,
well, yeah.
Especially in my case, because I was enjoying that extra stuff, then I won't thank her. And if she was preparing me for whatever, I wasn't ready for that, you know. And now, I think I'm ready. At least I feel like I'm a little bit more ready than I was then, you know. But I look at it as I'm in a better place because I think I'm doing what he wants me to do instead of doing what I wanted to do. Go ahead.
I was thinking a few minutes ago, too, when she was speaking back here. As Christians, during that waiting period mm-hmm. is when God is teaching us contentment. Mm-hmm. Just to sum up.
Mm-hmm.
So you were okay with what you were saying.
That's one thing that we don't like to do, whether we're children or whether we're adults. We don't like to wait.
But it's something we've got to learn.
Yes,
we have to
wait. This poem came from John Paul Moore, and it was referenced to, what I said, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6. Blessings are on the heads of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. This verse emphasizes that those who live righteously receive divine favor and blessings, while the wicked hide their violent intentions. The thought of blessings being on the head symbolizes honor and divine approval, indicating that blessings surround all aspects of a righteous person's life. When we think of how God blesses us, and so many stories and examples that are set in the Bible that shows how God took care of all of those that had faith and strong faith, kept their faith in Him. He took care of them, got to provide what they needed. Even Jonah gets swallowed up by a whale. I heard on the news the other day that a man was in a kayak and a whale swallowed him.
They had a video of it on the news.
I didn't see it, but I heard it. It's been about. But I bet you that's an experience he'll never forget. You know. But to have that happen, you know, I don't want to have to go through that. And I don't know if that humbled him or prepared him for something later on in life. I know it would humble me. I'm pretty sure it would. Number one, I wouldn't be out there no more. Not no kayak. But, you know, the Lord always takes care of His people, regardless of how bad situations seem or they are. Even of the early Christians when they were put into the arenas and the lions attacked them and ate them up. How do you know how you're going to leave this earth? It was for a purpose. Definitely was for our learning. But we don't know what happened to them, but they truly were Christians. God took care of them the same way He took care of Daniel when he was in the lion's den. But when we leave here, only thing will be left is our earthly body. Our spirit will leave. But God still takes care of us. So we have to be content with what we have here and try to stay focused. And it's hard because we got so many things to distract us now. But we try our best to stay focused. Don't let the devil throw us off course. And we will be able to drink from the saucer because our cup will overflow. That's my lesson for this morning. Thank you all for your comments.
Thank you.